Welcome to the Abbot Lube Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Open your Bibles to Judges chapter 7 while you think about making it to the prayer service at 11 o'clock in the gym at Abbot Lube Community Church next Sunday, right? Elders are going to be there. Board members, they're going to be there. Staff is going to be there. We want you to be there. We want to all be there together. Judges chapter 7. Nancy Winifer gave a prophetic word about Gideon and that God was really leading our church into a paring down season on purpose. And it really strung a chord with me, and I felt the Holy Spirit really in that word. And I've been chewing on that. And what happened was I went back to some prophetic words that Alan Ross had given me personally and my wife personally. But he'll lay hands on one person. He kind of prays for them, and then he prays for the other person, and some of it mixes in between. So primarily a lot of this was for me, but it was a word that since I became the senior pastor of our church, all the words that he started giving me are very directed towards our church. I've been really careful about sharing these with our church for some reason. I felt the Holy Spirit to check me not to communicate any of these yet. But as I was meditating on this word that I really believe the Holy Spirit brought through Nancy, he started to bring me back to this prophetic word in 2010. And these two words really, really coincide. And what I want to do is just read Judges, and we'll come through here, and then we're going to jump in and I'm going to read this prophetic word to you that Alan gave me. And I actually made a whole bunch of copies that we can pass out after the service if you're interested in having it, holding it. So, Judges chapter 7. So, Jerubbabel, verse 1. And his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod, and the armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength." Verse 3, "Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home." So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, "There are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you." So I will test them, right? And to determine who will go with you and who will not. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, they told him, "Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup the water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. And in the other group, all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream." Did I read that right? "Divide the men into two groups. In one group, all those who cup the water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs." Right. Okay, good. "In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands, and all the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream." The Lord told Gideon, "With these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, that it brings life and faith. I'm praying that today you will breathe faith and life into our spirits, into our souls, into our minds. We're expecting a dynamic change inside of the way we think and in our spirits today, God, that our faith will be shaken and stirred up, God, and it'll just begin to rise up like a soda bottle that the cap is on, and we just begin to shake it up. And God, I'm praying that you'll create pressure and uncork that lid, God, and just bring an explosion today in our faith, an explosion in our unity, an explosion in our love together today. God, we're resting in you and trusting you for a great move through us not just other people, but God in us, in this church, in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I want to just jump on a couple points here. And the first thing, as I preface all of this, I want to really encourage all of you that I'm just making an application here of a few things about this story. I don't believe that all the pieces in here, we're going to read into all of them, and there's a prophetic word for all of those for us, but I do believe there is a prophetic application for our church about some of these principles, and I want us to be careful that we keep that in mind as I deliver this. We keep that in context. Is that good? You guys with me? Okay, because there's some things in here we could read into that I don't believe are right about our church or what's happening, but there are in a grand scheme, there is a shifting and a changing that God is doing. The first thing here that I want to just point out is up here in verse 2, how he says the reason that God is paring down the army is because his people were going to take the credit for it. And he wanted to leave this in a scenario. Look, they were already outnumbered 4-1 to the enemy. 4-1. And God's like, that's not close enough. I mean, that's not a big enough gap between what's possible. Like, if you did that and you won, you know, it's like David and Goliath. It's like, well, I guess that's possible. That's amazing, but that's possible. David, of course, gave the glory to God, but he knew the condition in the heart of the Israelites in this moment. And he said, listen, I need you right here to trust me. He says, Gideon, I need you and I need the people of Israel to trust me. And I am going to get the glory for this victory. I am, and nobody else is. And they needed a breakthrough. And this is what I want to apply to us, is that I actually believe, for whatever reason, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm Jonah on the boat, and you guys all just need to throw me out in the water, and I'm the one that needs humility today, okay? But I'm pretty sure that it's all of us. I'm pretty sure all of us are in this boat where we have a great past. We've had great success in our church. Somebody was just the audio guy, Jeff. Jeff, are you here today? You're probably gone. He's the guy that's doing all our AV stuff. He just found out that his wife got saved at one of our outreach churches in Colorado. It's crazy. And he's like, I didn't realize I'm connected to Abbott Loop. He helped design all of our AV stuff. He's doing it again. And he was having like a total emotional time today just thinking about that. And the outstretching and the reaching that this ministry has had across the world is dynamic and awesome. But God doesn't want us to look to what we know we can do already. See, once you've done something, you feel like you can do it again, right? Second, you do something, you feel like, I could do that. I have the strength in myself to do that. God doesn't want us, I believe this is a prophetic application for our church, that we could ever be in a position where it's 4-1, where it's close enough, where we did it before, we could probably do it again. He doesn't want us in that scenario. We've got to really take this in, that there's something inside of each one of us, not just your pastor, not just the leaders on the staff, but that something inside of each one of us that God is saying something needs to change. Something needs to change inside of you. Something needs to change inside of me. There is a dependency on God that he is saying, this will happen. There's a paring down for the purpose that he will get the glory in the advancement. It's not a paring down so that we will be defeated and move backwards. This is a paring down for the purpose of advancement and God's glory and the King of Kings being glorified in the midst of it. You've got to believe this. This is where it's a shift where in spite of all the circumstances of what we see and what we have seen, and if you look around, the empty seats that are around you, that can be discouraging, the loss of the relationships that you might be experiencing and feeling because real people you love are not coming anymore. I don't know about you, but that hurts me. That's sad to me. I'm a real person. I have a real heart and real feelings like you do, and so does my wife. And I know that that's sad to all of us. When Gideon says, hey, everybody who's scared, go home. And 22,000 walk away, do you think the 10,000 might be going, uh-oh, what is going on? That's crazy. We're already outnumbered 4-1. Now we're outnumbered 12-1. It's crazy. They said they killed 120,000 that one day. There's probably more people out there because they chased some other people around and had other people come in after they win this battle. So there were at least 12-1 outnumbered at that point. And God says, no, still not good enough. I thought we hit rock bottom before we even had the collapse. And I was totally wrong. The bottom gets, it's farther down. I'm really hoping we're there now. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I'm feeling we're there. Oh, God, I want you to get the glory in everything. Everything. Come on. Are you there, church? Are you there? Have we had enough? Are we at the bottom? And I believe God's asking us, are the odds great enough yet? Are the odds great enough to where the only way that this church wins and succeeds, we fulfill the glory, the mission that God has for us, the only way that it happens is in the midst of God doing a great miracle in and through and around us, in spite of us. I'm telling you, this comes down to trust and dependency on the great King of Kings, like when Susie and Chris are singing today, great is his faithfulness. Oh God, great is your faithfulness. If we trust him and believe him, then we can believe there's a great advancement that God is wanting to do as he pares us down. People have left for all kinds of different reasons. Some good reasons. And this is where I want us to be careful, is that when we talk about the 22,000 that left, because there were 22,000 that just weren't willing to fight. It's true, there are individuals that have left our church because they weren't willing to fight through the struggle of what God has been leading us into. None of us collapsed our church. We did the best we could do, and it's a dang good thing we were not on that side, snow blowing all that snow off, because so many people would have died, guaranteed. So it's a really good thing we didn't try to do more, because, and God knew, it was in his sovereignty. He wanted to push that part down. Like Dick has said, it was the most useless part of our building. Everything else produced way more fruit than that part of our building, surprising enough. Every other part did. And God designed that on purpose, because he wanted to collapse it someday so we could build the new thing we're going to do at just the right time. And we'd have a great fresh restart, because God has a plan for us. He shrunk our building. He pared it down so it can expand and take an advancement. And the building is not us, right? It's just a resource. It's a facility. It's a great resource that God wants to use. But that's happening in the natural and the supernatural. It's happening all at the same time with us as an entire body. So some have left for that reason. It's just too hard. They don't have the fight in them. They don't want to do it. And that's okay. God's leading them, but by his sovereign hand, we got to believe that. And then others God has led on purpose, because I want to read this word to you now. And this is a direct word for our church. And God is rearranging things for creative dynamic purposes. He just is doing it. And they have the fight in them, and they're the right people. But God wants to move people around on purpose. Like last week we had Mick and Ellen. And they're heading out. And there's many people that they've really sought the Lord, and they are following God where they're going. And that's good. It's exactly what we want. That's exactly what God wants from us. Usually, when people are following God, it's usually harder to leave than it is to stay. It usually is. It's a loss. You're sad. You know, when people are escaping the fight, it's usually easy, because we're running away from the problem, right? So here's the prophetic word. This is in 2010, a couple years ago, from Alan to Joni and I believe to our church. The Lord says that even out of chaos, I'm bringing divine order. Right? That's almost there. That's a hard accent to do. So do not look for the textbook material to work through at this hour. Engage with me, says the Lord, and watch me bring order out of chaos. Watch me bring order out of chaos. We don't have a textbook for what's going on right now. There's no manual to get through what we're doing, guys. Right? The Lord says, I have moved across the body of the fellowship and deliberately initiated, says the Lord, a season of unsettling. Deliberately initiated a season of unsettling. What? Okay. I was like, when he prayed this over, prophesied this over, I'm like, really? This does not sound like any fun. Okay, the Lord says, it's not that I'm being mischievous or destructive. It's just that I want to put in place fresh, creative dynamics. Because it's always out of chaos that creation follows. The Lord says that I spoke my word and the worlds were created. My word created chaos before it came through to creation. The Lord says that that's where the fellowship is at this time. As you go forward, you will see creativity come into the equation. You will discover within you both a watchman anointing that will help you discern the times and seasons of the fellowship. You will also recognize the raw material that I have brought to you, and you will go into another cycle of observation and reevaluation, says the Lord. That part was kind of for Joni and I. But I will take you as a couple on the first wave of reproducing that in others that I've worked within you. The Lord says there will be days of training for the fellowship and days of ordination for the fellowship. It is a restructuring season. This is exciting. This is painful, but this is exciting. God's just blowing everything up and busting it all up. The building, everything, everything we've got, our relationships. And he's rearranging everything for his fresh creative dynamics to do something very intentional and on purpose that we can't see, but we have to trust. This season of training and fellowship and ordination, ordinations in the fellowship and restructuring. Man, I've been feeling that for the longest time. Like, man, when is that going to start happening? Well, God had more busting up to do before we're going to get there, right? Oh, Lord, let us get there soon. I am establishing contemporary apostolic truths. And I am establishing, says the Lord, dynamics designed to bring about a new spiritual cohesion within my family of the church. The Lord says, in this, you will learn the subtlety of leadership as well as the directness of leadership. You will learn in this, says the Lord, how to walk progressively in situations and how to put other matters upon the shelf. In this stretching, I am increasing your leadership. It may look like the church is moving backwards for a season, but it will actually be moving forwards. It may look like the church is moving backwards for a season, but it will actually be moving forwards. Because out of that chaos, I am bringing forth creation, and you will change, says the Lord, in leadership style and leadership perspective as you walk that through. That's powerful, isn't it? That's a powerful word. And I believe God wanted me to hang on to this because I think we're at the bottom. And we really need to be encouraged. God, there's somewhere up from this pit, right? And that it feels like we're in a pit, but really what I think we're in is we were like a Lego building, like an operation. We're like a Lego Star Wars like battleship, whatever you want it to be. It's like a castle or whatever it was, because we're a house, we're a building, we're a field, we're all these things, right? So we're a building that God designed, and slowly he's been dismantling that for years, long time. And all of a sudden he just goes, all right. And he took all those pieces and he's throwing them in the air. Because all those individual pieces are very important to him, and he wants them where they need to be. And I've said this many times, but I believe this is a prophetic word for you and for me, for all of us as a church, that you are the most valuable where you add the most value. You are the most valuable where you add the most value. And to be restructured is all in the hands of God. And we have to trust him in that. Even within our personal relationships, God's like, they can't always stay the same. The building can't always be staying the same. There needs to be fresh creative dynamics, change that happens so that we change internally. If we don't have change around us and things aren't changing, and there's not pressure around us, we get complacent and we find our seat in the church and we sit there. Right? Until the building falls on it and we can't sit there anymore. It's just the way we are. We're all like this. Or you're like me and I just like to change all the time. But that's my own little rut. That's just as dysfunctional as like sitting in the same spot all the time and not moving. I move too much, right? You're like, could you sit still? We do that to get away from things feeling uncomfortable. But God wants to make our body, he has made us very uncomfortable. But it's for an advancement. It looks like we've moved backwards, but truly we've moved forward. And there is a cohesion in this group. And I believe there was a cohesion that happened when God stripped the Gideon's army down to 300. They were in total unity. And there was a new creative cohesion that happened with that group. And they followed him, followed God with great passion. And there is a difference. There is a difference between being willing. Willing is good. Like he had 10,000 men that were willing to fight. And we've got 10,000 people or whatever. We have our 10,000, our group of people that are willing to fight. Willing is good, but ready is better. Willing is good, but ready is better. And so there's a difference between those that just plunge their head down into the water. They weren't ready for battle. They're ready to drink. And they weren't paying attention and being ready to look around and being ready for what was coming. And so those that were dipping into the stream and ready, they had their eyes up. They were aware. They were looking for what could be coming to protect themselves or ready to go to battle, ready to fight at any moment. There's a difference between being willing and being ready. And so I believe that the next prophetic thing that I think God wants to say to this church is that, and me included, to us together, is that are we ready to move from being willing to being ready? Ready to do whatever he asks us to do. To go wherever he asks us to go, like Peru. We have the Jim person over here. Jim, we love you, brother. Good to see you here. Out in Hungary. You're still in Hungary, right? Okay, good. And move somewhere. Are you willing? Are you willing to go where he calls you to go? Okay. You know that God has a position in his heart that says yes to us? That it says yes to his church? 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." That God truly wants to do his will and his work through you and I. He wants us to be that 300 that are ready. Ready to work, ready to move, ready to and willing to advance. And he wants to say yes to the desires that are in your heart. Yes to our church advancing. Listen, a house divided against itself can't stand. So when Jesus was accused of like casting out demons by the spirit of the devil, he just goes, look, a house divided against itself can't stand. God is not against our church. That's weird. That's weird, terrible theology that is destructive. We're not trimmed down because there's sin in our camp or we're making all these failures. Listen, God isn't against his own church. If we are willing and submitted to God and asking God, whatever you want to do, do it. We'll do the best we can do to follow you. Speak to us. Look, God is not against us. He is yes and amen through us. He's like, let's do this thing. He has a purpose to move powerfully through each one of us, no matter where he moves us or how he restructures us, right? Come on. And what it's going to look like, that's not up to us. We're just stewards of his field. We're not owners of it. It's his deal. Our church, we're just stewards of what he wants to do through us. Pastor Dick was a steward, and Pastor Dick and Carol and Rick and Dolores were stewards, and Joni and I are stewards, and all of us throughout all those seasons of leadership that we have too, we're all stewards of what he's doing. So let's really trust that all the changes and shifts that God is making are a paring down for advancement, right? And that each one of us, when there's change around us, we have to look not at why is that change happening to me, but what, you know, like happening to me, like, and then why are they doing all that stuff, or why is all this whatever? Like, we look at that pressure of that change and go, well, God, what are you trying to change in me? Because when we all change, then we all advance. But if some of us don't change, then some of us stay behind. That's the truth. And God doesn't want us to be that. We're Gideon's army. We're the 300 now. Like the 300 that stood at the pass of Thermopylae, right? And they held off the Persians for days and days. Awesome story of unbelievable odds. Until they were betrayed. Oh my. Great things. God wants to make a great advancement through our church. Amen. So we have one more transition that we're going to announce to you today. So we haven't hit bottom yet for you. I've hit bottom because I already know about it. If you haven't yet, not all of you, because you haven't heard about it yet. So I'm going to turn this over to my brother-in-law, Christian Raywalt. And this is the hand grenade. This is the bomb that's dropping today as well. Is that there's some changes that God has been leading Chris and Susie into. And this is exactly what my message is about, is that I really believe God is rearranging things for his great purposes. Amen?